Larry. Larry?
I'm to your right. Okay. Sure. I'm the liaison at ADOA for the IOC committees.
All right, since nobody's talking, I'm going to go. This is Joe, a family member and a committee member.
Dorothy Yanez, family member, committee member.
Barbara Carling, family member, committee member.
Sharon Faulkner Gillespie, committee member and adoptive parent, also work for a foster care agency.
Hi.
Same question, adoptive parent and also a professional in the field.
Just a minute, please. We've got a couple more committee members, Susan and Tyson. Thank you.
Hi, Susan Hyder, family member and committee member.
Hi, this is Melissa Brown with Arizona Complete Health.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
Did Tyson get a chance to?
So this is Tyson Gillespie. I'm a committee member, also adoptive parent, and a professional in behavioral health.
Thank you, Tyson.
Good morning, everyone. This is Michelle Guidos with Kodak Health Recovery and Wellness. We're a provider agency here in Tucson.
And hi, everyone. This is Sophie Degaski with United Healthcare.
And hi, everyone. This is Joe Kautzman with Banner Health.
Any other guests? By the way, good morning, Joe, Michelle, and Melissa. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch the after Michelle. Who was that? Guest?
This is Sophie Legaspi with United Healthcare.
Oh, thank you, Sophie. That's
hi. Hi, everyone.
Oh, good morning. And Frederica?
Yes. Hi, everyone. This is Frederica with Access.
Well, I think that's everyone. Good morning, all. Ken has to be away, and so I'm going to just run us on through our agenda. And our first item is always review minutes. But again, that is those are on our website. So if anybody wants to make of those, they're posted up there. And has anybody had a chance to read them from last month, or any questions or comments?
I read them. They look fine to me.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay, thank you. And then let's move on to mission, vision. Larry or Frederica? Oh, I know you're from two different agencies, but still on the same team. Any comments?
Or
updates?
Yeah, from an ADOA perspective, we're still in phase one of this pandemic, and it's not looking like anytime soon we're going to be moving to phase two. So we're still with restrictions on masks in the state, so be cognizant of that. More and more stores and places that you frequently visit require masks now. Bars have been shut down and gyms have been shut down. Restaurants are at 50% capacity. So school districts, I think, are opening, but in a different capacity as they did last year. Obviously, I think some school districts have the option of going online now compared to in person. So just be aware of that, and please review the website of the particular school district, your children or significant person is going to. Other than that, I don't have any other updates for the group from ADOA. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have, if there's any questions, or try to answer them.
I thank you. Thank you, Larry. I think everybody's kind of in a situation of, feels like I'm stuck in mud, trying to move forward or any direction. But anyway, thank you.
Well, yeah, you're correct. We are stuck in mud. And so we're just kind of, you know, we're uncharted waters here. So everybody's just kind of day by day and just trying to make the best of it and keep everything moving. And for Susan and Tyson and the new members that have come aboard, please review our website for trainings. There are trainings on the website that will direct you on how to access reports, IR reports off the FTP server and QM portal and that with access. So, and that's under the publications tab on our website, and it's under training.
Well,
I'm sorry. It's under resources. I'm sorry. Resources, right. And training. Okay. So please review that. If you don't have a sign on yet, Frederica will be getting back to you and getting you a sign on and password. So that way you can access the reports and take a look at those. CJ put together a nice PowerPoint presentation for you to look at and let that be your guide. Some changes are coming down the road I would anticipate that coming in probably later this year, in 3 to 4 months. Other than that, I really don't have anything else for the group. So again, if you have any questions for me, I'll be happy to answer.
Thanks, Larry. I think we're holding at this time until the movement can. Frederica, my understanding again from your previous email is that October 1, things will move along on our, our server, right? You know, I'll be able to get at seclusion restraints on that new server, correct? October 1?
Yes. We are actively training. We have started training just to confirm that everyone is going to be aware of how that new process will work. It does not begin until, or should I say, it will go into effect 10-1. So by that point, you know, everyone will have the training, and whoever is looking for training, you can either request that before or after. And like Larry mentioned, anyone that needs access to the portal, just reach out to me. If you have already reached out, I am actively getting all of those taken care of. And just so you all know, I've been getting several of them from all of the IOCs here in the last few weeks, just based on, you know, those accounts that have been deactivated and need, you know, help getting them back on track. So if you have any questions or concerns with how to access the current portal, let me know and I'll be happy to get that to you. There are, you know, forms and documents that everyone will need to sign just to maintain that you do have access to that. And yes, we are on track with that. So again, any questions or you guys want any training, just reach out and let us know.
Thank you, Frederica. Thank you. And again, to our members, let me see. Oh, I'm speaking. I will resend an email that I sent out before, but I'd be happy to send it again from Frederica that includes the link to sign up and the link to help, and also include the link that Larry for training on this process. And I sure encourage everyone, including myself, to get on board, because that's probably all we'll be able to do for the near future is to look at reports that come into that system, because as worried as I am about our clients, we are not in any way, shape, or form in a position to go out and see them in person. So anyway, this is
Dorothy. If you could send that link, I think I'm supposed to expire in the next day or two. So if you could send that link, I'd appreciate it.
Will do. Okay, Dorothy, we'll do. You betcha. Okay, thank you. Thanks. Jason, I'd hoped he really wanted to be here today, but I'm sure he's got very good reasons for not joining us at this time. So we'll, if he shows up, we'll put him right in the add him to the agenda again. And again, member recruitment. So Larry, help me guide me in this. We want to make a revision to our list of members, and I have three. That we're going to relieve from our list, which would be Susan Moreno, Judy Kowalski, and Connie. And so if I could get someone to make a motion, we'll do a vote on...
Barbara, real quick, did they send you an email resigning from the committee, or...?
In the past, yes. Judy, for sure. Susan, okay. Yes. And then Susan, oh my gosh, yes. But I'd have to go back and dig. And then
if they all submitted you a resignation letter due to health issues or whatever it may be, that would be fine. I think the only I wasn't aware of that. So if you have a committee member that has just non-responsive and not responding to any of your emails or calls and not showing up to committees, then we would formally vote on it. But if you have the resignation email, then that would be fine. Then we just note that in the minutes and we can move on.
Perfect. Okay. There's only one that falls under that category of non-responsive, but
okay.
For very good reasons. But I will contact her and ask her just to send me a resignation. That'll make things clean. We won't have to vote then. Great.
That would be fine. Whichever way the committee wants to do it, it's fine with me.
Okay. Any comments, committee members, as far as should I just go with their emails then, or do you want an official vote?
Do we need a vote?
Not based on what Larry just explained. If I have a letter of resignation, it's not required that we vote.
Right. Well, those three people have pretty much resigned, if you will, for a long, long time. So if you have letters, you might not have the one, but I think that makes the most sense. It sure is a lot cleaner that way.
Yes. And yes. And I'll work on that last one. I think I can get what we need, you know. If not, I'll bring it up next month, but I
okay.
Responsibility. Okay, well, thank you. Outreach, again, a tricky topic. Any comments or suggestions from any of the members or anybody in the community on outreach for more membership?
Barbara, this is Tyson. I had spoke to Ken at the end of last week about that the committee does cover Southern Arizona, and so we have several sites across the southern parts of Arizona. And Jared, who works in Safford, had planned to be on the call today, but had a emergency in the clinic. I think actually they had a water leak that was flooding the clinic. So he will join us next week to see if, you know, we can get some input from folks outside of the Pima County area.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Tyler. Okay. Good. That sounds good. Poor buddy. Anyone else? Any other suggestions, ideas, thoughts on membership? Okay, back to deaths and incidents and getting people on board, getting our accounts so that we get into the server, getting training, and again, familiar with navigating the that server. So we'll put that off again until next month. And again, everybody, I encourage you to please sign up. I promise. And then board and care is idle in the water again. We cannot go visit. And we had one incident. Frederica, are you with us still?
Yep, I'm here.
I think I spoke with you about it. No, maybe not. Susan, it was about the notion that when we were able to visit sites and we were last at one, we were concerned because the prices were all over the page, even though, granted, they're unlicensed and we really don't have the rights to govern them, I suppose. I can't think of the word I'm looking for. Basically, it was a concern that they would determine on a per-person basis how much they were going to charge each person. But I don't know. I think the only thing we came up with was a legislative fix, and that's out of I think that's out of our reach also. Any comments on that? That was the last issue we had with Board of Care was regular handling of what clients would pay.
Yeah, that is out of our scope here at Access. So, you know, it's just one of those things that we don't have any jurisdiction over, and it would become a legislative issue if you guys were ever wanting to pursue that.
Okay, yes, that's where I think where we left that. So that would be, do you have any comments on that?
This is Susan. I think this is a significant issue, significant. And I'm not sure how to proceed in terms of legislative requests for change. But if it's appropriate for this committee, and we need some input, from Larry and I guess Frederica, but then I think we should determine a way to move ahead on this and not just drop it because it's a legislative issue. I remember in past years that we have moved forward on numerous legislative issues with certain members. Can Joe, myself, et cetera. So I'm not sure how to do it, but I think it's worth exploring.
So Susan, sorry, this is Tyson. As a newer member to the committee, could someone define what the concern or challenge is, so I just have a better understanding of kind of what you're thinking about and what the concern is?
This right. is Let me give it a whirl. At a last site visit that Ken and I went to, it's a really good provider, by the way. She is unlicensed, but she has 5 sets, and the places they're fine. They're great, actually. But we found out from her helpers, so to speak, the gal that went from place to place, that people were paying, based on what the owner of these sites felt, they were paying. She would find out what they were receiving, and then based on that, she had set a $600 a month fee, but one gal was paying about $900, maybe even more, but she had a private room and she had a bath. Okay, so it was special, but there was quite a bit more. Most people were put in rooms of 2 to 3, sometimes 4, and various prices. Gal shared with me, so it's awkward because some of it's anecdotal, but she said, you know, we would determine what they could, you know, basically afford and still have an allowance. And I'm thinking, okay. And we have more or less run into this before, because one of our questions when we do site visits in unlicensed places is to ask, and what do your people pay? And it's generally a fixed amount, so the people know coming in the door. The caseworkers, I don't know what they're called now, but anyway, they knew when they were placing people pretty much what it was going to cost. but we found more and more that what they actually pay is all over the board. So that was an issue. And we noticed it especially a lot at the last place we visited, Ken and I noticed. I heard this story.
Well, Barbara, I'm going to cut in if I may, and Tyson, this may not be a legislative issue. This may be a, for lack of a better word, a behavioral health system issue. And I don't know how to get at it, but it certainly, to me, does not seem appropriate. I know in the past, the Kodaks and the different behavioral health systems,
it looks like we lost Susan's connection there.
But I think what I'm hearing is that they're unlicensed facilities, right? So
yes,
I don't know where behavioral health would come in, because if behavioral health isn't doing the placing for the either children or adults, I don't know how much we can have say so over how much they charge. And that's what makes it hard, is that because they're not behavioral health placed.
Correct. It's a pickle. And especially this one site that I visited that I ran across that lately. They're so, I actually really, really, really like and appreciate this. I don't know. It does a really good job of providing clean homes. So it's tricky. And again, the unlicensed aspect of it. Yeah. So Tyson, does that more or less answer
you? Yeah, so just as in summary, it sounds like the concern is about that we have folks who are served and supported through our system who maybe are in situations like they could be exploited by various providers, even though they're private arrangements outside of the Medicaid system.
Yes.
There's an exploitation concern potentially.
Right.
Exactly. Don't know how to touch it. Anyone?
This is Michelle Kidos with Kodak. I have, would this be a case that, I don't know if, I know when, if we've encountered a situation like this, right, that we don't know for sure, but it sounds like Tyson said, like a situation where a member could be exploited. We get APS involved, Adult Protective Services, to help us like with an investigation, and so is that something that might be beneficial or like something for the committee to kind of include?
I think that makes sense to explore.
That sounds like an idea. Again, my concern is dual fold. I'm concerned about losing some of these providers. I've gone back because I have a habit. I'll drive back by certain places I've visited in the past, and some have actually folded, which is heartbreaking because they were providing a much needed service. So, you know, Melissa, you're here with us. Melissa,
yes, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
It's been a while since I've asked for a listing of the, because obviously we go to them anyway. Do you have any insight into this situation? How many unlicensed homes are going on in that community? Do you have anything for us?
I would have to do a count, Barbara. I don't have it right now. I know that we've had a few that have closed. But I can get that for you for sure. And if you need a new list, I can get that out to you too.
That would be helpful. I mean, over time, you know, I'd like to take a look at that and see, compare it with, I've kept all the sheets, believe it or not, from the past, just to see what's going on. Maybe I can even give them a call and inquire that way and see how things are going. That would be lovely. Thank you. Yes.
One idea potentially for the committee is that, you know, maybe if we see areas of concern or potential abuse of people's financial resources is put together like a one page sheet that can be shared with case managers or other people of considerations or potential risk areas. It's non-licensed, so it gets into a situation where there's not really oversight. But if there's pitfalls, Barbara and the rest of the committee that have been seen over the years, maybe in just like a one-page kind of FYI, consider these facts as you're moving in or as you're supporting a member who might be moving into one of these arrangements.
Yes, Tyson, yes. We'll look at it that again. It's going to be a real tough pickle, especially these days, to address this and to move forward. You know, but thank you. I think that's really, really good. And thank you, Melissa. I'll look forward to that when you get a chance.
I would be happy to help put something together, Barbara.
Oh, please.
If there are certain areas of concern that you or Susan or whoever could send over, and just as a draft for us to look at next week or next month, not next week.
Yeah. Thanks,
Tyson. That would be great.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Tyson.
Yeah.
I just would need some of the examples, Susan and Barbara and the rest of the committee, of what challenges or concerns we've had, and okay. Then I could draft something up for the committee to look at.
I'm actually going to send you our three-page questionnaire to kind of just to bring you up to snuff what we ask when we go out and visit, you know, all the points that we ask. And anytime you would like a conversation, just let me and we can chat on the phone about experiences. And I could probably scan a few recent visits to show you. Well, you don't want to read my chicken scratch, but anyway, my notes. But yes, I'd love that. Thank you, Tyson.
The questionnaire of site visits I noticed yesterday is also on the training manual on the IOC site.
Yes.
And I have to go back and read it and compare it to what you have now. But it seemed very thorough and good and, you know, appropriate type of questions for unlicensed BNCs. Might want to look at that again and see how it compares to the old one.
Good idea. Can you glance at that, and I'll give you what I'm using currently, and or I can.
Sure. Is it something you can email me or?
You bet. I've got it on my. Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. And then you can look at the one in the training manual, which I thought was really thorough. I just don't remember how it compares.
Ours used to be 5 pages, and thanks to Dorothy. Was able to type bring it down to 3 pages, which made sense, but it's very thorough. Yes, it is. And but I have not compared it to the one in the manual. I think I looked at it once, the one in the manual. It's pretty similar.
Yeah.
So okay, special populations. We'd Phyllis had some things she was going to say, but she like I say is with a family right now working on an emergency. So let's see here. Sharon, you had something about foster care updates.
Yeah, I was just going to update everybody because I know I talked about it last month. The foster care system in the state of Arizona is moving to a system called Guardian, which is how a lot of our foster parents are going to be getting their reimbursements and stuff like that for the month, as well as they're getting their referrals for placements and stuff like that. It has been postponed a little bit because the system had some corrections that needed to do with it. We're continuing state meetings in regards to what foster care looks like, what therapeutic foster care looks like, as well as the developmental homes for adults and children. So, things are changing. They're not too much right now, but foster parents are being asked to do more stuff. And agencies, because we're all working remotely right now, we're asked to work remotely until the 17th at this point from DCS. So DCS is still going in person, however, to do visits, still running CFT meetings and everything. But I know a lot of our birth parents that are in the adult behavioral health are having a hard time because they don't have access to computers and stuff for these CFT trainings and because they're not offering them in person. There was that update. And then I know Larry talked a little bit about schooling. I know at least for the Vail School District out here, they're offering remote start. And then they'll be eventually moving to in-person. They originally said August 17th. However, we don't know if that's actually going to happen at this point. So I know a lot of the families we work with are going to need support. A lot of agencies are looking to raise money to help with computers for kids and stuff like that. A lot of the schools are offering a checkout basis for school computers. But it is, unfortunately, a first come, first serve basis because a lot of the schools don't have computers for every student. But I know, like I said, a lot of agencies are looking at how we can raise money in regards to getting computers for these kids, especially when they're transitioning and everything. So there's a lot going on in the community as much as we possibly can to support our families in this process of being able to help them reunify with their families and in our foster homes.
Have you heard much about the COVID problem in that community? Is that a problem? You know,
it is. We've our agency has been, I think, relatively we've been okay. We've had a couple families been hit really hard with it. And it's been pretty devastating. So we are just working with the behavioral health agencies in regards to making sure that our kids have therapies, that we're talking to the behavioral health agencies in response to how to explain it to these kids, what's going on. There's been a couple trainings that have been offered to foster parents and birth parents, for that matter of fact, in regards to the idea of COVID, what that's going to look like long term, as well as the riots and what that looked like too. So we had agencies that were quick to respond in that and offer trainings to be able to help explain to our families and the kids and how to explain to the families to how to talk to the kids about what was going on with the riots and everything. So we're trying our best to offer the trainings, and then a lot of agencies are doing virtual support groups and stuff like that too. So because not only our adoptive parents are being hit, but our birth parents and everything else. So,
excellent. Thanks. And I'm curious. Well, I'll move on, and then I'll get my curiosity.
So, Barbara, just with another special population, I just want to make sure that the folks in Pima County are aware that community partners worked with Arizona Complete Health, and we now have a Forensic Act or sort of community treatment team. So those are for members who are SMI and also involved in the judicial system, needing intensive outpatient treatment. They need to know that that is available for those forensically involved members who also might have a serious mental illness.
Okay. Oh, boy. Complicated, isn't it? Boy. Thank you. Thank you, Tyson. So I'm going to just move on to the providers, because that's where I've got my next question. Thank you. Tyson answered some, and Sharon. And from our community, what are you seeing? What are you hearing on every level? You know, but how's the COVID out there? How are our clients doing? I'm just desperately wanting to see them, but I'm old and afraid to go see anyone. What's going on in the community from our providers?
This is Michelle with Kodak. We have been, adjusting. I think us as a provider, we, took this kind of head on, and we just started accommodating as we could. Right now we're offering 40 plus groups via Zoom. which has been, I think, I don't, and I'm not sure, but this is like the highest number that we've ever had of groups. So we've been trying to offer as much of support, and we still have, you know, like a skeleton crew at our site for those that are comfortable coming in. But we're just trying to accommodate as much as possible, and our safety procedures are being implemented in all of our, with all of our staff.
Are you having any face-to-face or any face-to-face counseling?
I believe it depends on the situation, the circumstance. If there's absolutely no way of having Zoom or, you know, with through those avenues, that's a possibility, yes.
Okay. Anyone else, Joe or from Banner or?
Well, I know I work with a gentleman who's SMI who I've sort of adopted, I guess, over the years, and he's with Kodak. And he has had a couple of, telephone video type meetings with his doctor that have been very, I happened to be there for one of them, that were very successful, for lack of a better word, but he felt very good about him afterwards. So I thought Kodak did a really good job of that. When he does go in to Kodak to get his medications for a month, for example, they're checking everybody's temperature at the door. They're doing, they have to wear masks. They're doing the best that they can with social distancing, which, you know, with this population, it's difficult, but I've been impressed with Kodak and how they've been handling it, at least that particular site. So just a comment on that.
That was beautiful. Thanks, Susan. Happy to hear that.
Thank you, Susan. Do you mind sharing what site it was? Because we always, you know, we want to give that feedback.
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I was trying to picture where it was. Let's see. He lives at Grant and Alvernon. Is there one on near First and, oh, gosh. You know what? I promise to tell you next month.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you so much, and thank you for that feedback.
I'm getting too old. I just have no memory. I promise to get that for you.
No worries. Thank you so much for the feedback.
You bet.
Thanks, Susan. And thanks, Michelle. Anyone else in the from our providers? Any other reports about the activity in the community?
I mean, I can provide an update for the Intermountain and Community Partners Continuum statewide.
Oh, good.
You know, we as a state started a phase reopening or slow reopening at the beginning of June. And then obviously we've had to, as a state, had to be more restrictive. And that's what we've seen in how we're managing the clinics as well, is that there was a slow ease of some transition of some services back to face-to-face. And as the state became more restrictive, we had to as well. What I can say is that there's challenges with certain members of the population that they don't have some of the video capacity that maybe other populations would. Yeah. And so specifically psychiatric services, psychiatric evaluations have been more challenging to really do in a strong clinical way. So we've come up with some strategies to have people come in one at a time, be able to do those services. And then for our more intensive programs that we run across the state, they're continuing to be in person with appropriate social distancing, and that really never stopped for really acute members who were receiving care. So it is more restricted than probably even at the beginning of June, because we had such an uptick here in Arizona.
Yeah, Tyson, just a comment. It's so critical for these folks that really need to see that face, and be able to interact. It's just, I think that's great that you guys are doing that. It just means so much, that structure. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Any other, thank you, Tyson, so much. Any other providers? I do have a question for the providers, too. Is there any provision for equipment for our clients? Is there a budget for any equipment to help them stay in the loop, so to speak? Anyone?
I would highly doubt it.
One could wish, can't they?
For equipment as far as technology?
Yes.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Is this Michelle?
Yes, sorry.
No, that's okay. Okay.
We did AZCH at the beginning of the pandemic for our acute members on our ACT team that have serious mental illness. We're given a small mini grant to help for phone calls, and that got us through a couple months. And also the phone devices. And we've continued paying the monthly subscription, but they're not video phones. So to be able to do like a video session, they don't have that capacity, but they can receive telephonic psych services, telephonic therapy services. That was through the assistance to that mini grant through AZCH initially.
Right.
That's what I like to hear. Is there, I wonder if that's something we could maybe as a committee look to enhance, because if there's any way, Frederica, Larry, is there anything we as a committee could do? I don't know where I'm coming from, or our providers, because even if they just got the phone call, I assume, again, I don't get to talk with anyone or see anybody in person, so it would be lovely if we could anyways get people those phones like Tyson's describing to continue the contact. But I would assume all the agencies have put something into the work so that they can do this, Is there from any other agencies or any other agencies out there that have actual people that work with one-on-one with our clients besides Michelle and Tyson and Sharon? No?
Unfortunately, what I've seen in the last couple of years, even before the virus, with the budget cuts, the horrible budget cuts for our behavioral health system, many of the services had already been cut to video visits with the doctors and so forth, and making it very, very difficult, I would think, to get additional monies to help during this horrible time. I just don't know how they can do it with everything they've tried to do in the past with the budget cuts.
True, that's
a very sad situation.
Yeah, it's so true. The only thing we could luck into is some sort of a grant. That would help.
Right.
But, a grant would be heavenly. I have to think about that.
Do we have a grant writer on the committee, Barbara?
No, not currently. No, not to my knowledge, unless anybody out there do. I'm looking at a grin, but I don't know. Sharon, have you written a grant?
No, but I know somebody on the committee who has written grants. Tyson.
Oh,
that's true.
Tyson, it just any thoughts on this notion? I mean, we wouldn't make you do it, but I'm just asking.
No, I think there are initiatives at local, state, and like federal level to increase televideo or telemedicine capacity in systems. I know that one of the folks here was actually working with some school-based treatment that we do to look at to increase some of that capacity. I can just follow up with him to see if he's aware of any initiatives out there related to this population and let the committee know next time.
That'd be great. I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, I'd be really curious to know what we could do to distribute or to the community, I mean, to the providers to maybe move that forward. That's why I was kind of curious from the providers, what have they got to work with? But
I would just put out there for the folks, if you're working with someone, if they are eligible to get one of the government issued phones, commonly known as Obama phones, that right. is a way and it's a resource for members who might be eligible to get that support.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and those are great. And from what I've seen, they're fairly readily available. Excuse my language. But I want to go back for a second to the grant writing, Barb. As we recruit members, that might be something we focus on is trying to find somebody or recruit somebody who has experience writing grants. I know that's easier said than done, but it's something we might focus on as well.
I love this idea for so many reasons, because I think we're going to be stuck in this mud, or as I said, or in this pickle for a period of time, and maybe we could start steering that direction, since we can't do any in-person activities and meetings or site visits or and I think that's an excellent idea. And I will say, back in the day, I had experience supporting grant writing from a technical point of view. There's some packages out there that help the whole process. So I think that's an excellent idea. Let's keep our ears open to see, and maybe conversations with open with people to see if we can find somebody interested enough with the time to come on board and help us with the maybe looking at some grants to get, because of this budget bind. So I like that idea. So,
you know, just another thought for the providers on board today. I have found, actually looking for something else, but at the community college, they have several classes in grant writing. And if it would be helpful for the behavioral health community, I would be willing to look into that and possibly taking that course. But I don't want to do it if it's not going to be helpful or it's out of the realm, you know, of potential to help folks. So I'm just throwing that out because I really don't like school, but I'm throwing that out. Something I would be willing to do.
I love that idea. Anyone of our providers, does anyone, would they benefit? Could you benefit if we got our act together and we were able to get some grants to get some cash to provide phones would do, you know, or does this Does this speak to anyone?
Because I think most behavioral health systems have grant writers on board, I believe. So I don't know if this would be helpful or not as a oversight committee.
I know most organizations do have someone in fund development or development that those type of things, Susan. I think where we could be supportive or help with guidance, and again, I'm newer, but identifying the areas of need and then see if there are organizations within our region who would partner with us around some of these gaps in the system. And potentially then utilize their expertise at those other provider agencies to help with the writing and some of the more technical aspects of the applications.
I like that better.
I like that too, Tyson.
That's a good idea, and I don't think we've explored that.
I think this is a good conversation to have with our committee, though, because, again, I think we're going to regroup like all else and decide how to move forward in the most helpful fashion. And I hope I can get an amen on that anyway. I plan to go out and see if I can't myself. I don't know how. I'm going to start just trying to identify areas, and I'm going to go online and see what I can come up with. Maybe make a few phone calls. And with that, I'm going to ask anyone and everyone, do you have any additional comments or questions that we haven't addressed? And if not, our next meeting or virtual meeting will be August 25th, Tuesday, fourth Tuesday of August. And I want to thank everybody for being here today, and I hope and pray that you stay healthy and well, and you and your loved ones. And I guess we'll just, again, thanks everybody for attending, and we'll just wrap this up. And Susan, I'll call you later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Look forward to it. And
thank you again, Tyson, for all that you
Everybody have. Be well, stay well.
Thanks, Dorothy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye, and be safe.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Well, thanks, Carol. Thanks, Brenda. Okay. Larry, I'm still on with you. I guess that'll do it. Larry, thank you, wherever you went.